Good morning. Beautiful fall day, beautiful time to gather. Snow's coming, are you ready? Not a lot of enthusiasm there. That's all right. Hey, I have our nugget of trivia for this morning. Did you know that koala bears are not actually bears? Why? I guess they don't meet the qualifications. I've been waiting for 2 weeks to share that with everyone. But if you do, those botanists in our group, if you will explain to us why that is someday, I would be grateful. The back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on. 2 weeks from now, we will celebrate All Saints Sunday. We will read the names of some of the saints that have gone before us. Their name, the person who gave the gift, or anonymous if you'd rather, will ring a bell and place a rose and a vase in the table. So there should be a form in your bulletins if you would like to acknowledge someone who has passed. So take time to fill that out, no cost to you, and we will celebrate the saints on All Saints Sunday. Church conference, you see that's been in there now for a while, but we are coming close now. We had our ad council. And things going very well. Michael, we have a question or comment from Diana Hunt over here.
Is that a Zoom meeting or is that here in person?
It's going to be a Zoom meeting. It is Zoom, yeah. Evening meetings, we found we get a little better attendance with people that are not driving at night. So that will be November 15th. I do not know who the convening elder is yet. It may be our district superintendent, but she can delegate that. You see ensemble practice invitation there. Mark and I were just discussing music for the upcoming months, and we've got a lot going on. We have Thanksgiving stuff, we have, or they have, Advent stuff, Christmas stuff, and so the season is upon us to make a joyful noise. Other announcements, what other things do we need to lift for the good of the order? Michael, Sandy Tinney.
I'm talking about the Women's Society. This is an early update. Our November program is the World Thank Offering. All the women of Burns are invited. It's at 10 o'clock on the 12th, I think.
Okay, Women's Society, November 12th, Saturday morning. Right? Saturday morning? Just trying to count my days, making sure we got all of our dates correct. I can't think that fast without a calendar in front of me. Other things for the good of the order, other announcements we need to make. Stephanie Iverson and Bo and Hadley just walked in. Any announcements we need to make, you three?
Birthday.
Oh, well, we won't tell anybody it's Stephanie Iverson's birthday until the time for the announcements and the good news. And so nobody knows that until then, so hang on. Any other announcements for the good of the order? I was sure there was one other announcement I needed to make. What was it, James? We'll figure it out as the service goes on. We are in worship. We are gathered. We are prepared to give our full attention to the Lord God. Stand, if you will. Wave hello to one another. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Good morning. Please join me for a call to worship. Welcome to this time of shared prayer and worship. We need this time of reassurance and strengthening as we face the struggles of our daily lives. The world seems to be far from faithful. When everyone is marching to a different drummer, it is hard to know who's out of step. We give thanks for the solid base of truth in the Lord. We have a rock to stand upon instead of shifting sand. We give thanks for the word and the truth revealed through Jesus Christ. Now please join us for the hymn, I've Got Peace Like a River, 2145. This morning's scripture is Psalm 90, 1 through 6, in your pew Bible, page 597 through 598. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Thanks be to God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Welcome those who are visiting us online. We got started a little bit late, but you didn't miss too much yet, so we are in the midst of our time of prayers and reflection. By way of concerns, Melba shared with me that Stella shared with her that her daughter Karen, who lives in Johnstown, is having knee surgery, and so we ask that you pray for Karen. And I would share with you a lady who was just a model in Johnstown when I was there. She was a part of the staff at the high school, and she raised so many kids, if you will. And she was just a blessing and a comfort to all she met. And she is in the hospital with cancer. She had cancer. They had forced it into remission, and it has returned. So for Joyce, I ask you, lift your prayers for Joyce, a dear friend. Ruby has a concern there, Michael.
Yes, I want to ask for prayers for my daughter, Becca, who will be having a second surgery, I think the third time, on the same knee. So she needs prayers to get through it. Thank you.
Okay, tell us who that was. We missed the very...
Becca.
Okay, Becca's
on
having...
Thursday.
Okay, second surgery. All right, for Becca having second surgery. Other concerns. Ellen is not present with us. Can I share? She had a bit of a reaction to the latest COVID shot and is convalescing at home. We wish her well as she recovers. Other concerns. All right, Bo, Hadley, which one of you want to talk about celebrations this morning? Michael, take a microphone over there. The two of them, although they came in full of it, now they're all pointing fingers at one another.
No!
All right, never mind, either one. All right. It is Stephanie Iverson's birthday today. Yay! How old are you, Stephanie? Are you 42 today or just tomorrow?
41.
No, I'm sorry, it says 42 here.
Well, that's wrong.
Okay, 40, wonderful. All right, happy birthday, Stephanie. On Wednesday, you'll have a compatriot who's also 41, Ron Mackies. Is that right, Ron? Actually, quite a commendable date. Do you want to name that, or are we keeping that to 90? Woo! What is that, nonagenarian? What is 90?
Nonagenarian, I guess.
Did you want to say anything? Michael's right behind you with a microphone.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Just don't call you late for dinner. All right. We celebrate your birthday and presence with us. Caleb Armstrong is 5, right, Holly? On Saturday.
Saturday, yep.
And he shares his birthday with another little girl by the name of Diana Hunt. Where is Diana? She slipped away somewhere. There's back there. She's turning 5 as well, I think.
Plus.
And Sunday, we have another little boy with... Oh, did you want to say something about your birthday, Diana? No, that's a negative. All right. And Sunday, Mark Doctor having a birthday. Is that correct, sir?
That's right.
He's on Sunday? It's Monday. You know, this database thing is killing me. Okay, well, on Halloween, that explains an awful lot that I did not realize before this. All Saints.
I'm a Reformation baby.
So you're the 30th. I thought, okay. Round and round and round we go. Very good. So we celebrate Reformation Day, Saint, whatever, and we're glad for celebrations. Other celebrations, other things of great wonder and import. They are all around us. The trees are still demonstrating God's glory. We saw, we drove through a street covered with gold. And it could not have been prettier to drive through El Dorado, the city of gold, famous, mythical place. It was brilliant and beautiful and a time to give thanks to God. Amen? Yeah. Are there others? Any other prayers of concern, of celebration, or just information? Let's turn to our unison prayer. You find it in your bulletin. Let's read responsively. Lord, hear us as we pray. Mighty God, we long to see you in some powerful revelation or miraculous intervention, yet you come to us in a still, small voice. We seek you on behalf of the multitudes who need your transforming power, but also for ourselves. Help us to learn to be attentive to you in all times and places. Remind us that our allegiance belongs to you before any other. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation as we prepare for prayer. Loving Lord, awesome Creator God, Maker of the universe, creator of the heavens, author of existence, Almighty Jehovah, Elohim, we turn to you this morning. We turn to you and humble ourselves before you in the face of your awesome creativeness. In the midst of your presence, we stand in awe. We have journeyed, Lord, as you know, and we have tried, and you know we have stumbled as well. In our stumbling, we pause and confess, seeking to do better, learning from our mistakes, returning to the path where Jesus leads us each moment, each day. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the presence of God among us, the guide, the model, the perfect one in our midst. Thank you for that salvation that comes. Thank you for that love that is ever present. Thank you for all that we have been given. Lord, help us remember to pause and give thanks for all that we have and all we have received. It is great. We are a blessed people. We are the prosperous. We are the rich. We are the favored ones. Help us remember that we have been blessed and help us to share our blessings. As we come before you, Lord, we kneel before your presence that we might listen and hear, that you might guide us, that we might be inspired, that those presupplications, those ideas that we might have had that have brought us into the wrong direction, that those might be challenged and that we might renew again the direction you give us. Where we have strayed, return us, Lord. Where we have excelled, Thank you. We come before you, Lord. We come before you this morning to put you first in our lives, to try to follow humbly, and to gather with your people as we seek to love one another. Hear us as we gather with all peoples together in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In our meeting last week, we met for the Ad Council. Holly reported that we are stable, that we are in the black, and that your offerings, your gifts, that you're giving, your offerings are paying the bills, that we are viable. I don't know another term for it, but we need to just give ourselves a thanks. This is not a time to pause, because I do have some things I want to request, and so I will put those before you. You have been good to respond and to assist us as we care for this place, as we care for one another, and as we reach out beyond these walls through the ministry of the United Methodist Church. So thank you for your offering. Don't stop. Let's turn to the word before us, God's word in the gospel.
Please stand if you are able. Scripture. It's Luke 18, verse 18 through 26. A certain ruler asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He replied, I have kept all of these since my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, How hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. For those who heard it said, Then who can be saved? He replied, What is impossible for mortals is possible for God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Y'all get comfortable. Not too comfortable.
We're going to sing first, Peter.
We are. Thank you for reminding me.
So while you're standing, we'll be singing 2073, Out of the Faith We Sing, Celebrate Love.
Celebrate love, so amazing.
Jesus loves everyone. Celebrate love, love, love. Celebrate love, love, love. Celebrate love, love. So amazing, He's creating.
Yeah, now you get to sit down. Thank you, Mark, for helping us along. I guess, Mike, you can all get comfortable and sing. We'll pretend that's what I meant. It's not true. Last week's message, if you recall, I commented some on how Christ has and is remaking the world. We need to pause and think about that sometimes. We are a more compassionate world than we have been. We are a people of more Christian nature. There is much that has changed for us. And one of the examples I want to pause and remind you of, do you remember the story of Jacob and Esau? You remember Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah had twins. Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first. Jacob had the heel, was holding on to Esau's heel. I understand that's what Jacob means. Esau was the outdoorsman, hairy, brawny, active. Jacob, more introspective, thoughtful, smooth-skinned. And at some point, one day, Jacob at home was his mother's favorite. Esau was Isaac's favorite. So there was tension between the boys, and being born first, Esau was the one who would inherit all things, the firstborn. In that time and place, the firstborn inherited the majority of all things from their father. And one day Esau had been outside working. Jacob had stayed in with his mother cooking, and Esau was ravenously hungry. And he came in, and Jacob offered him a bowl of stew. He said, I'll give you this if you will give me your birthright. In other words, give up his place as firstborn, trade that for the food that he was so hungry for. Esau agreed. It's an interesting story, and when it was first read, when it was first gathered, wouldn't it have been a story of how very shrewd Jacob was. He managed to gain the birthright that he wanted by leaning on the weakness and hunger of his brother. He was shrewd, he was successful, and in some cultures in different times, he would have been considered the one who was doing the right things. Today, we can pause at that and think, was this an ethical, correct, moral thing to do, to manipulate another through whatever means you might have? It was a shrewd deal. And are shrewd deals moral and ethical, or are they based in deception or manipulation? It is possible to manipulate, to manipulate one another into doing foolish and impulsive things. And so, is this acceptable? Is it correct? I think the interpretation of that event has changed over time. I think very distinctly we look at it differently than they would have originally done so. Is it legal? I don't know. Is it cheating? I don't know. But it's an important illustration of the differences of how we can be and who we can be as being Christians, and how Christ is and has changed the world. So I reiterate that we are changed. God's grace, Christ's grace, is among us. We see it all around. We see it in ways that we have built systems to care for all people. And we continue in those systems and in that civically conscious effort. So here is the pericope that Deb Gunther read for us today. And this young ruler asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And it begins by explaining, oh, he's done wonderful things. He's followed all the rules. He's been done everything precisely. And it seems that he is being a very good disciple. And he is precise until he comes to the bottom. He says, there is one thing more you shall do. Now, it's phrased in there, but I'm going to phrase it differently that we might hear it to us. And he says to the young ruler, use your wealth for those less fortunate. Help others. Now, you have to contextualize this a little bit. In Jesus' day and age, if you were healthy, you had God's blessing. If you got a cold, ka-choo, people would say, may God bless you and make you more fortunate instead of sick. If you were wealthy, it was because God had blessed you. So to be faithful was to be wealthy. Do you understand how that had become the concept? That's how everyone viewed it. Someone who was wealthy, someone who was affluent, someone who was gifted and talented and able and had great resources, they were gifted by God, so they were good people. And this was proof of the goodness. So here is the certain ruler with Jesus. And he has done all of the other things the Bible calls for. Care for your mother and father. Do all of those important things that you should do. And out of his wealth, he's convinced that now he is blessed. And Jesus says there's one more thing. That wealth you have received is a gift to you to do gifts to others, to care for one another. And he walks away sad because he's wealthy. And then there was a little translational problem. We didn't have it on the screen quite correctly. Debbie, as you were reading the bit about the camel and the eye of the needle. The saying is who it is. Jesus said it is harder for a wealthy person to gain heaven than for a camel to travel through the eye of a needle. Do you remember the first time you ever read that? Did you kind of just stop and say, I don't quite understand what that means? It's a non sequitur. It doesn't match. It's like saying, what does green smell like? What's the sound that orange makes? You see, they don't seem to fit. It's a camel and an eye of the needle. They're just, they don't seem appropriate. Now, I've heard different commentators that the walls had different gates, and at night the main gates were closed, and there was a small gate called the camel gate or the eye of the needle, and it was a small gate, and it was harder to get through, so it was easier to defend. And so it was hard to get through this gate called the eye of the needle. It may have been why he used that phrase. I have read a translation of the Aramaic Bible, and the word for camel and rope are printed side by side in an illustration there. And the only difference between these sets of symbols is one little dot. So literally, if you had the manuscript and one fly speck, you've changed the word from rope to camel. And they're convinced it's a translational error. So the saying would have been, it's easier for rope to travel through the eye of a needle. It doesn't matter. The point is clear. If you have wealth and you hold on to it, getting into heaven is going to be tough. There is no question. This is the bottom line for what it's all about. One might go so far to say the pursuit of wealth is a dead end. Capital dead end. Dead end. You get it? Never mind. Thank you, Mark. I got at least one reaction out of that. The very beginning of the pericope, it begins, a certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is called good but God alone. With all of the rest of the stuff in there, we pass that up and ignore that very beginning piece. And I want to come back to it. Here it is. It's an interesting piece. And the first time I read that, why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone. It's as if he's chastising this certain ruler and saying, You know, your terminology is flawed because humans are human and only God and only the deity is good. You need to clarify what goodness is. That was my interpretation of it. That he was chastising this young ruler. There are other ways of looking at that. There's another interpretation that goes like this. Here is Jesus standing before him. And Jesus, in our understanding, God, fully human on earth. And we have to ask the question, was Jesus good? Now, we wouldn't have much problem with that question in our gathering, but we need to just kind of generally pause and reflect, was Jesus good? We refer to him as the Good Shepherd. He does good deeds. He heals the sick. He cures the poor. He gives sight to the blind. He does miraculous, wonderful things. He confronts injustices of the priests and the Sadducees and rulers and rich people. And he cares for lepers. He is good indeed. So it's kind of confusing. Why is Jesus confronting this man? Maybe he's not confronting him at all. Maybe he is nudging him to think about that. Why do you call me good? Because he is good. There is none that are good but God themselves. Perhaps God is nudging him to grow that conscious awareness that here, standing before you, this good is God. God present. God, Jesus, standing human in front of him. Why do you call me good? There is none good but God alone. Yes, you are right. Fully human. God among us. If you'll keep your ears open as we read different scriptures over the course of the year, you'll hear Jesus refer to the kingdom of God is among us, or the kingdom of God has come near. Those are also puzzling, but they are saying the same thing. In Jesus is the kingdom. In Jesus is God incarnate. Think about that a moment. Why do you call me good? God alone is good. Jesus Christ, born to us, good, perfect, divine, fully human, the kingdom among us. Amen? Amen. Let's sing about who we are. This is one of Melissa and I's favorites. So, number 558, if you will. Stand.
Sometimes it's writing, sometimes hiding, always it's learning. church. You are the church. We are the church together. All that follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. And when the people gather, they're singing and there's praying, there's laughter and there's crying, sometimes all of it saying, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. At Pentecost, some people received the Holy Spirit and told the good news through the world to all who will hear it. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together.
All right, amen, amen. Church together here gathered. Consider that we are gathered with our virtual community as well. People at home, some that we know, some that we don't. Families gathered around. People around the world, all in the name of Jesus Christ. We go out together in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May we be those people gathered in Christ's name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Join hands, if you will.
Go.